This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, our Creator God, into our awareness, for you are always with us. Kindle within us the light of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts, our souls, our bodies, and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. So I have a confession to make. I have never seen one Star Wars movie. Just saying. I think you'd have to live under a rock, though, not to have been affected by these movies. The very first one came out 40 years ago. 1977. I always loved, though, now the phrase that has become cliche, and you know what I'm going to say over the years, may the force be with you, right? So I thought, in preparing for today, because I wanted to use it in my sermon, given that the latest one just came out on Friday, I figured that I would ask people what that phrase means to them. And so I have many people during the week. And so one said, oh, it means good luck. Be on your way with good luck. I said, okay. In fact, a couple of people answered that way. Somebody else says, be protected in the light against the darkness. I said, okay, all right. So the other night, I was checking out at a store, Friday night. I'm still collecting my data, right? And I checking out, and the guy at the register started to yawn. It's about 8:30 at night. He starts yawning, and of course, I started to yawn, because that's what we do when we're around people who yawn. And he started to laugh, and he said, oh, yeah, and I'm going to the movies after this, too. And I said, oh, are you going to see Star Wars? Because it just came out that day. And he said, well, yes, I am. And I said, well, do you mind if I ask you a question? I said, what do you think the phrase, may the force be with you, means? And he kind of looked at me and he said, well, you mean really or metaphorically or what? And I said, well, to you. What does it mean to you? So he thought for a while. And by this time, his coworker had wandered up to the counter and they're listening. And he says, well, I think it means go and be safe. So I said, well, okay, all right. And then the other guy looked over and I said, do you mind answering the same question? Would you mind telling me what you think it is? And he said, well, I have to tell you, I am looking at this a little more from a God point of view. And I said, oh, well, great. You know, my ears perked up. And he said, I think it means may the light of God be with you. So I'm stealing that one. For the purposes of this reflection, last night after the 5 o'clock service, though, a couple came up and they had seen every one of the movies. And they said, you know, really what it means, this is from their opinion, their perspective, because I found that everybody's got a different perspective, that it means all of the Holy Spirits from all of the generations all the way back coming together saying, may that force be with you and protect you and keep you safe and be in the light and be in the light. How do we notice the force in our lives? How do we notice this light, this movement of God in our lives? Our gospel today gives us someone who did exactly that. John had grown up with Jesus, was his cousin. He knew him very well. And he finally discovered that he was the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, and that he, John, was not. And so he spent the rest of his life pointing to Jesus, pointing to Christ when they were questioning him and really wanting an answer and wanting to know who he was. And he just kept pointing and pointing to Christ. He was a witness. He testified, the gospel tells us. Now, as Episcopalians, we kind of recoil sometimes with this idea about witnessing or testifying, and I think that's a shame, really, kind of. I was meeting with a girl last week, and I mentioned the word witness. She had said something, and I said, well, that's a witness. And she said, do you mind if we don't use that word? And I said, well, no, not at all. And I said, well, tell me more. And this is what she said. She said, you know, when you use that word, I just turn off. It reminds me of all the shaming I felt in my other church, all the fear that if I didn't witness for Christ, there was something wrong with me. Okay, so I get that. And I said, well, then perhaps we'll use the word notice. You know, we get hung up in these words that get kind of hijacked with a certain connotation. It's still witnessing. You're noticing, as John did, pointing to God, pointing to the Christ in our midst. So there's three ways that I'd like to suggest that we're going to notice God in our midst, and they're in the form of stories. So the first one, you guys get the first look, is the story of self. So I'd like you to close your eyes just for a minute, if you will, and ask yourself these two questions from your whole life. What has God done with me? When have I known God? It will be different for each of us. Usually, when we notice God, it's when we are looking back at a time in our life that was particularly difficult, and somehow we got through it. We notice what the linchpin was, and this is where God hides out. You may not call it the force or the Christ or God, but if it was turned for good, that's God hiding out in that moment. Notice the story of self and how Christ has been with you, no matter what the situation. Our natural tendency is this longing to be secure and safe and loved and whole. And it's a natural propensity, actually. When I was in nursing school way back, and the very first class I had to take in 1975, if you believe this, was Fundamentals of Nursing. And on the very first day, the teacher stood up and she said, the human body and the psyche have a natural propensity toward homeostasis. And what that means is propensity is this natural flow toward homeostasis, which means balance. Our bodies, our minds, our very beings are constantly wanting that, longing for it, accomplishing that. A cut on our arm is going to heal one way or another. Even if we needed the stitches and didn't get it, it's going to close up somehow. And that is a force much greater than us. And it works in our lives for the greater good, especially when we're aware of it and can enhance it. I'm reading a great book right now, and in it, there's a young man named Jude. And he had a horrific childhood, just unspeakable abuse. He'd been passed from foster home to foster home, got a scholarship for college. He was really brilliant, and made a couple of really good friends. And one college professor began to mentor him, and the college professor's name was Harold. And they became also friends. And one day, Jude was in the office with Harold, and they were there, and there was a mug sitting on Harold's desk. And the mug had belonged to Harold's now-deceased son. So this mug was really important to him. Jude got up and accidentally bumped the desk, and the mug fell and broke. And Jude was mortified. He went home, and he just beat himself up about it, and he ended up writing an apology letter to Harold. And this is what the wise professor wrote back. Now, mind you, the professor didn't know about Jude's childhood, but he sensed that Jude wasn't ready to talk about it, and he knew that there must be something awful that had happened to him. This is how the professor wrote him back. Dear Jude, thank you for your beautiful, if unnecessary, note. I appreciate everything in it. You're right, that mug means a lot to me. But you mean more. So please stop torturing yourself. I would say that this whole incident is a metaphor for life in general. Things get broken, and sometimes they get repaired. And in most cases, you realize that no matter what gets damaged, life rearranges itself to compensate for your loss, sometimes wonderfully. Love, Harold. So he was talking, obviously, about way more than the mug. No matter what cruelty has been done to you in your life, no matter what cruelty you may have given out, no matter what joys, no matter what ups, no matter what downs, no matter what you have gone through, the force has been with you to be recognized and utilized and relied upon, whether we knew it or not. The force was always there, the Christ, redeeming and shining and wanting us to notice and ask for that help and that comfort and that awareness. Now, the second way that we notice the Christ is the story of us. So I'd like you to now close your eyes again and ask yourself these questions. How have others been there for me? How have I been there for others in my life? In the Isaiah reading that we heard a little while ago, that was the blueprint for the mission of Jesus Christ. If you recall from the Gospel of Luke, when Jesus, after he was baptized and he went into the wilderness and he resisted the temptations of the devil, he went right to the temple and he read this passage from the scroll. I don't know if it had been assigned by the lay leaders or if he just picked it up and began to read or what. We don't know that. But it was that Isaiah reading. And what we hear in Luke is just the very beginning of it. It was his mission for how the story of Christ is with us. And I might add that it's not only how we give to others, but how we are able to receive from others when we're in need. Because that's a complete of a circle. The other night, the youth group and I went along with as a driver, and it was a wonderful evening. We went and sang Christmas carols to people who couldn't really get out easily. One woman's house that we went to, she maybe has been out of her house a few times this year because of medical issues, and she came out into the front, and she stood, and the youth were singing, and she began to cry. She was so moved, and since then, she's written letters, she's written notes, she's told everybody how great it was, said her neighbors are still talking about it because they had come out and they were listening. That's the Christ at work, in and through us. And if she had not been willing to receive it, would have been very different, right? Would have been very different. It is a circle, and we are in this together. And it's up to us to point out, to learn this lesson today that John the Baptist has modeled for us. Now you'll notice in the gospel there's a big section of scripture that's left out. And those verses we're going to be reading on Christmas Day. That's the rest of John's testimony about Jesus Christ. So it gives us this message today that our job today is to know that we are to be pointing, always noticing where Jesus is in our life. And then it expands in our awareness. Finally, this brings us to the last way that we notice Christ. The story of now. So we've realized Christ in ourselves, how God's been at work in our lives always, especially when we look back at difficult times, how Christ has been there with us, with one another. And so now, it's important for us to expect an encounter with Christ right now. There's a guy by the name of N. Graham Standish who wrote an article some time ago for the Albert Institute, which is kind of like a think tank for churches and faith development. And this is what he said. He was noticing churches that increase in attendance or decrease or decline and kind of fizzle out. And this is what he noticed. He said that consistently, churches that decline have no sense that Christ is in their midst, that this presence of Christ can bless them and make their churches places of love. He says that those that thrive are communities that are, quote, open to God at their core. They expect an encounter with Christ. Our job is to point to that and encourage one another. May the force be with you. May the love of Christ and God be with you. Amen.